It's time to go under the helmet. This is the Gerald Riggs Show on TalkZone.com with your host, former all-pro running back for the Falcons and the Redskins, Gerald Riggs.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Gerald Riggs Show, Underneath the Helmet, right here on TalkZone Radio. You can tune in, of course, at TalkZoneRadio.com and plug right in. You want to listen live? You want to come back a little bit later on? They do archive the show, and we can, kind of share some things a little bit later on if you didn't have a chance to sit around and chat about it before. But before we get started, I want to kind of recognize some of the people who are behind me, certainly Wadle Media, who does a great job with helping me with getting all my stuff up online and with my Facebook page and all that. If you want some work, then that's the people that you need to call. Wadle Media right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And also the Bethlehem Center. The Bethlehem Center is a place that they love to help families, children, certainly growing up in those formidable years that sometimes we take for granted that, you know, kids are growing up. But let's not leave it in the hands of the social media. And all of the, what are those things called? Those reality shows. Those things are ridiculous. A big hat off for what they do over there. Ted Bullock is behind the Bethlehem Center, and they do a wonderful job over there with their work. Today, you know what? As we look at the NFL and what's going on, certainly around also in the world of sports, can't help but talk about what's happening here. Now they've got a team in the NFL that's finally been sold. The Buffalo Bills had been up for sale for probably a long time. I think they've probably been trying to sell a team since they last lost the Super Bowl. But it hadn't happened until now, as they finally unanimously get an approval from all the owners to sell the team. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. And one of the other things that are going on in the NFL, why are there so much haters of Peyton Manning? And I myself was in that category at one point in time. I couldn't stand him. It was like those guys, you know, if I were a player playing against him, I would look at him kind of like that Joe Montana thing when we played in the old NFC South. When I played, it was made up of the Rams, the 49ers, the Saints, and the Falcons. And one of the teams that you hated to play was Joe Montana. It's teams, but Joe Montana was pretty much the team. San Francisco, I hated them. I couldn't stand them, especially Joe Montana, because we always knew that no matter what kind of lead we had, if it wasn't a substantial lead in the latter part of the game, he was going to pretty much bring them back. And that's just the way it was. Couldn't stand him, but he was just that good. But Peyton Manning is in that category, and there are a lot of haters for him right now. Sure, he has weapons. Sure, he has a team that's been pretty much handpicked for him, but so what? Get over it, folks. He's good. He's one of the best in the game. He gets his 500th touchdown this past weekend, and believe me, before it's all over with, he'll probably have about another 50 before the season's done. Haters, I'm sorry, but it is. We're also going to talk today a little bit about some of the what's going on here in this corridor. As I am right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and most of you people, of course, may have remembered me from my days with the Atlanta Falcons and a little bit of time there with the Washington Redskins and the Joe Gibbs days. I'm here in Chattanooga, and I love the football that's in this quarter, with the exception of the fact that, you know what, if the football in the NFL was played like it is in the SEC, I'd be really happy right now. I'd be very happy, because between our two teams, and from the NFL standpoint, the Titans and the Falcons, I think the SEC, they should probably move two of those teams, like Alabama or maybe both Mississippi teams, into the NFL and put them in the SEC. Right now, that's the way it looks, because I don't know what they're doing. The Titans, we're going to talk a little bit later on. Actually, after our first break, we're going to talk a little bit about the Titans, and we're going to have on here Teresa Walker, who's a columnist there with the Associated Press in Nashville. And we're going to, you know, kind of take a little peek in, see what's going on there in Titan land, and maybe get some kind of, I don't know, some idea of what the new coach there, Wizenhunt, is doing with his team, because they blew a big lead and we're going to get her opinion on what's happening there. And hopefully, again, like I say, bring something to the table as far as the Titans, maybe some hope. And that's kind of where I'm going to preface it with. Let's get some hope to this team, because right now, and then the Falcons, on the other hand, that's another team that I don't know what's going on there. I really feel for Coach Smith, because they are starting to look quite dismal, as a matter of fact. A team that was supposedly a couple of years ago so explosive, and they still are for the most part on offense. Defense, I don't know what to say about them. It's not the fact of they can't hold on to a lead, they can't gain a lead, they can't protect any, you know, a lead, and defensively they are just horrible. They're horrible. But we'll see what we can do as far as they're concerned, you know, a little bit later on here in the show too. But a couple of other things we want to talk about. We're going to have Joe Smith, who's on a little bit later, talk about again the boxing and things that are going on here in Chattanooga. Some exciting things that are happening with USA Boxing, and they're going to be really stepping up the efforts to get things going here in the Chattanooga area to help some young men, of course, get off the street. His program, I'm going to have him explain it a little bit to you about what YCAP is here in Chattanooga, because I think there are programs similar to these in other cities, but I can't speak for them. But I know what's happening right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I know that there are going to be some programs that either model it or they're trying to get up and running to do this. Joe Smith actually was on the Olympic boxing team at one point in time. He was one of the trainers. And he has a really, really nice little gym over there, where he has actually a home for boys, that he housed them. They send them to school. They educate them, and they make a lot of things happen for these young men, to get their lives together and maybe go on and do something good in the community and get off the streets. He's pretty much an angel sent for some of these young men, because they don't have any place else to go. And he steps in and he really does a very, very nice job with helping them with understanding. It's not just about, you know, them and what they're dealing with, but letting people know that they're loved, helping them understand that they're loved. And there are people out there who care and will put forth the effort to help them, if they do the right things and stay on the right path. I've been over there myself, and I've spoken with some of those young men, and it is really, really a great program that's going on right here in Chattanooga. So you get the opportunity to listen up and hear about what Joe Smith is talking about with his program, YCAP. That's going to be a little bit later on in the show. So, again, we're going to tackle some of this Tennessee Titans stuff today with Teresa and see what we can come up with, because they are really kind of on a path where I don't understand what's going on with the Titans anymore. I've been watching and I don't know. Hey, also in baseball, you know, can't help but talk about, you know, the championship's going to be pretty much almost set now. Actually in the National and American League, they're going to be going, I guess, this Saturday. Got San Francisco taking on St. Louis. That game is going to be Saturday at 8:07. It's going to be on Fox. So all you baseball people who are getting ready to watch a pretty interesting series take place. A lot of stuff is going on with college and NFL, but don't forget, folks, baseball is, you know, here they are. This is their big to do. They are, all you baseball fans and baseball purists. You follow baseball all the time. This is the time of season now where you can sit down and say, hey, it's now down to four. And we're going to see how this thing is all going to play out. Then you got this Friday, Kansas City is going to be taking on Baltimore, and that game is going to be at 8:07. That's going to be on TBS. So the Royals and Orioles, they're getting ready to crank it up too, and we'll see how that's been going. I tell you what, that Nationals and San Francisco series was pretty doggone and pretty good. I'm not necessarily a baseball purist. I don't get into all that, you know, who bats for this and swings for that and, you know, the percentage on base and all that. So I like to see a good game. I don't like it to be, you know, something that, hey, once it's done in the two or three innings, then you've got, you know, what, seven innings or whatever it is, to sit there and watch a boring game. I like to see something transpire, something go on, something take place, see the, you know, a story happen or something, instead of sitting there seeing, you know, a guy who's, you know, the team that's winning and You just, you know, you're watching the pitchers and you're watching the grass grow for the most part. And I'm not saying that baseball is not exciting, because certainly this time of year, this is about the only time that I watch it. I don't know about some of you other people. Let me know what you think about that. Gerald Riggs Net is where you can tweet me at, or you can go on my website and go to my Facebook page at GeraldRiggsNetwork.com. And we can talk about what's happening. You can send me a message or two or whatever and tell me I'm crazy, as I always say. But I like to have a little spirited conversation, what's going on. Also, some of the things that are going on in the news, you know, the NFL still can't get away from its humdrums. Let's put it that way. Certain things now with Adrian Peterson is kind of creeping up a little bit more. And I really feel for this young man. Here's a guy who, you know, almost at one point in time, you looked at him for not only him being the bright star of the NFL as he has been, but he was pretty much a big influence for just the story that when he was hurt, he had a knee injury blown out, and he came back from it and really came back to the point to where everybody in the beginning nobody thought that he would be able to come back and play like he did, but certainly he turned into a great inspiration not only for NFL players, but for other young kids and other people and the like who've gone through surgery, have had issues to where they didn't know if they were ever going to be able to do what they did before, let alone just will walk and get around. But Adrian Peterson did that, coming back from a severe knee surgery and being the offensive player of the year, led the league in rushing. This was something that nobody predicted. But now, you look at what's been going on, it just seems like thing after thing is coming with him. First, yes, this whole thing with well, actually, it even started beforehand. It wasn't actually him. One of his kids losing his life. Then to come with him now being involved with, you know, this whole incident about him from what I guess a public perception of it is, spanking his kid, you know, in a way in which nobody felt that it was appropriate with a switch. And now you hear something where they saying that he bankrolled a actual, and this is what they said, an orgy, and with a credit card that was basically used for his foundation, that was, used for the, by the foundation. What can you say? You know, some of these guys don't realize that, you know, you can do certain things and think that you're getting away with it, but when it starts to roll, oh my God, when it starts to roll, you better be ready. You better be ready to deal with the repercussions and all the consequences that come along with when people finally catch up with you and see what you actually are like, what you're like. These things can snowball to be way more than you thought. And I think that he's in that situation where I don't think that he was, he never probably thought about the fact that, hey, I've got somebody who's mad at me. What have I done to them? Because, you know, this is a world that we live in and evil is around every door. It's nothing we can do because people are going to be evil. And when they have something up on you and they have an opportunity to either sell it or put it out there to discredit your name or just totally try to mop you up, it's going to come out. And it's unfortunate for him that this is happening. Ray Rice, you know, what we felt was kind of like the first little ember to the NFL. He's probably happy right now because of all the other things that are going on with everybody else. They're not really targeting him so much anymore, but he's still out there too. Some of these other guys who have been in trouble, it's still cropping up everywhere around the NFL. And it's really something that Goodell is just, and we're going to ask Teresa about that too, because I want to hear her perspective on it, because we talk about all the guys and what they feel and what they think. You've heard some of the other women, and this month I'm going to be highlighting some women in sports, and Teresa is going to be one of them because she's a sports columnist and a writer. But you get a chance to, you know, talk to hear what she may feel about Goodell and this whole issue of how they're handling it and how they've gone about doing it. Because I still feel that for what's happened and the way that the commissioner has handled it, he's botched this thing up three or four times over. And there's nothing he can do, you ask me. He continues to get these committees and all that stuff together. And those things to me, they're great, but it's something, it should have been done a long time ago. Why now? All right. Let's get settled in. I'm going to take my first break here. And when I come back, we're going to be talking with Teresa. Talk a little bit about the Titans. And that's going to be Teresa Walker, who's with the Associated Press. So we're going to do that here after we take a quick break here and get ourselves ready. Grab a little drink of water or something. It's too early in the day to have anything else. So we'll be right back here on the Gerald Rick Show, Talk Zone Radio, TalkZone.com.
Now, let's go back under the helmet for more of the Gerald Riggs Show. Here's Gerald Riggs.
All righty, folks. Let's get back into it. Like I said, we're going to be hopefully here shortly that we'll be having an opportunity to speak with Teresa Walker from Associated Press in in Nashville, concerning the Titans. Because they are a team that as I said earlier in the show, maybe we should send the Titans and the Falcons to the SEC and take both of them, their Mississippi State and maybe Ole Miss, and put them in the NFL. Because maybe they'd stand a better chance of, I can't even say they'd stand a better chance of winning. But right now they seem like they're two teams that are almost on the same path again. At a much earlier time, at this time, I think that the Titans have, you look at what they did last week. All right. A game in which they were 26 points up, 26 over Cleveland, and had an opportunity to win the game. Charlie Whitehurst came in as a quarterback. Locker was hurt. So Whitehurst comes in and everybody felt that maybe that, you know, this could be maybe a changing point for the Titans, whatnot. But either way, he came in and he did an admirable job with getting touchdown pass. I think they're like two of his first three or whatever. And then the team proceeded to fall apart after halftime. What in the world is going on there? We finally got her on here. We got Teresa Martin is going to be here talking a little bit about the Titans. And it's good to finally get you on the air there. Teresa, are you there?
I am, Gerald. How are you doing?
Thank you, ladies. Oh, I'm doing just great. Good to have you on. And, you know, this is my month, and certainly the month that is going on in the NFL with all the pink stuff and all that. We didn't have that back in our day, but they really recognize the breast cancer awareness and all that. And this month, I want to do a lot of women in sports, and you're first out the block, Teresa. Guess what?
That's good. You should start with a woman off the block. And, you know, hey, I've been covering the Titans since they moved to the state back in 97. Good combination.
All right, then. Well, let's start with it because as I look at this team, I feel like, you know what? We've got to find something to give some people some hope on what's going on right now. I think Wisenhunt is coming in and he's trying to turn this thing around. But, you know, right now, what's going on? These guys blew a 26 point lead. How is he going to pull this team together and what's been happening so far to kind of change the mindset of this Titans team?
Well, that's the challenge. You know, he is a first-year coach here, and, you know, they've brought in some new players, brought in some veterans like Leslie Woodyard, Sean Phillips, you know, guys who, you know, veterans with winning experience from Denver, et cetera. Leslie Woodyard's been a captain the entire time he's been in the NFL, trying to inject some of that experience, but it can be tough to turn it around in a hurry. And, you know, they're also installing a 3-4 with Ray Horton on the defensive side of the ball. You know, and Ken Wisenhunt a week ago after they'd lost their third straight game, you know, he said he was going to streamline some of that offense. It worked on Sunday. You know, they jumped out to a 28-3 lead. But, you know, during that process, you know, Jake Locker gets his hand hit on a helmet when he's being blitzed and, you know, hurts the right thumb, goes to the sideline. Charlie Whitehurst, it looks like, you know, shoot, he almost kicked it into a new gear. You know, two of his first three passes for touchdowns. And, they seem to be rolling. But, you know, the Browns just refused to go away. And, you know, either they made some adjustments at halftime, shut down some of the passing, you know, plays that the Titans were really gashing them on and managed to tighten down on that run. And, you know, maybe did the Titans go into that mode, okay, we're up, you know, by more than four scores, we're good. You know, not really sure, but the Browns just kept pressing. So, you know, Gerald, we're going to find out an awful lot about, you know, the accountability that, you know, Wisenhunt has been trying to bring in, you know, how much they can bounce back, because this is a game that a kind of a loss when you blow a lead like that, it can either leave a mark, you know, that, you know, it's like a punch to the gut, Or is this something that they finally stand up and say, okay, we're not going to take this anymore? You know, this is a team that went into Kansas City to start the season and came out with a 26-10 win that was pretty convincing. So, you know, we're still, but and then they go and get outscored 100-34 over three games, and then we have the big collapse on Sunday. You know, the biggest collapse in regular season history for this franchise, you know, only topped by the 35-3 lead that they blew in the playoffs as the Oilers to the Bills way back in 1993.
I remember those days.
Yeah, so it's like we're waiting to see what they pull out of the hat next, and it could be tough because Jake Locker, the thumb's still swollen. We don't know yet if he's going to play. They're saying day-to-day at this point. Whitehurst may be in line for a second start in three games on Sunday when they host the winless Jaguars. And the fact that the Jaguars are winless, guys, we can't take that for granted as a win because, you know, the Jaguars had lost 13 straight when the Titans lost to them a year ago in November. So, you know, we're at a time where we're going to see Whittenhunt's going to have to earn his money right now.
You're listening to Teresa Walker. She's with the Associated Press up there in Nashville following the Tennessee Titans and does a little bit of everything in sports. A lady that I would say follows has a pretty good pulse on everything here in the South with football, with hockey, with basketball. Now, yes, they're taking on the Jaguars this weekend. And this is a team that if you look at it on paper and certainly look at how the Titans have been playing with the exception of this loss, should be an easy win, but this is the NFL, and everybody seems to forget that on every team, these are guys who are supposed to be picked the best of the best in camp. So there, you know, even though the record may not show it, there really are no true weak teams in the NFL when guys are all clicking on all cylinders because it can turn around so fast. Now, my question to you though, and we spoke about Whittenhunt coming into this year, coming from Arizona. The kind of the knock on him is that, okay, yeah, he can do it with the talent that's there, but if he really had to build it, can he build it? Is he able to build this team and to be, I guess, a successful organization like Fisher did? And I don't want to put Fisher back in the mix, but we've got some things to get together here on this Titan teams. Can he get this team together in the next couple of years?
Well, that's going to be the challenge. Now, you know, he's got general manager in Russell Webster who's, you know, he's been here and they're trying to work together to, you know, to get the talent to where they need it to be. But it's a quarterback league and right now the biggest question mark is Jake Locker. You know, he's in the final year of his contract and they're trying to see what do they have at him. And, you know, Whittenhunt, you know, he struggled in Arizona when he couldn't have a quarterback when Kurt Warner left.
Exactly.
Trying to find that guy. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. You know, they've made a lot of moves bringing in some experience this year. You know, they focused on rebuilding the offensive line in the last 2 years. And that's, you know, that's what we're waiting to see. They've got some talent on this team, but, you know, trying to figure in those pieces and it all comes back to quarterback. And that still remains 5 games into this season, the final year of Jake Locker's deal. It still remains the big question mark. You know, he can't stay healthy enough to show that he can be that guy. And until they get that settled, Joe, I'm not sure, you know, that's going to be the biggest problem. And, you know, if they can't fix it, you know, he may end up, you know, does he end up going down the same road that he did in Arizona?
Teresa, what do you say is probably the most burning issue right now on this team? I've heard that Whittenhunt has kind of called out the line, but you know, when you got to be honest with when you lose a 26-point lead, you know, the way that they did, defense certainly has to be in the mix too.
Well, it does, but you know, when they were down a cornerback going into the game Sunday, Cody Sensabaugh, who replaced him in the lineup, you know, he hurt his knee early in that second half, and so they were kind of scrambling at that point, pushing guys around. And yeah, they've got to get better pressure. They absolutely have to get some more pressure. They've been struggling to get to the quarterback the last, you know, in the skid, and that's something that has to improve. Now Ray Horton has said that when you're getting, you know, making that transition to from 4-3 to 3-4, it can take a few weeks. Well, you know, we're 6 weeks in this week. At a certain point, the light should be coming on. And so they definitely have to improve in that area. So, you know, but I'll say this, you know, it helps when your offense can stay on the field. You know, and in that fourth quarter, you know, they had the ball a couple times and just could not stay on the field to help run some clock. You know, sometimes the defense's best friend is the offense that's chewing up clock, and they haven't been able to do that. They certainly couldn't do it on Sunday. So, and that offensive line, as you mentioned, but you got to remember, Chance Womack was a first-round draft pick out of Alabama last year. Mm-hmm. They had a draft pick at center. He's in his second year. You know, they signed Andy Levitra at left guard and then went out this year and got Michael Orr right tackle. So, yeah, they put a heavy investment in that offensive line. And on Sunday, you know, those young kids in the middle, they just couldn't handle the pressure, the push, and they just got washed away there and could not get a half yard. You put that much money into an offensive line, you should be able to get a half yard in the NFL.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, and that's a very good point about that offensive line with the money that they've tried to sink into that line, and then, you know, this is what happens to the quarterback and all that. Hey, let's kind of switch gears a little bit because, you know, there's all the stuff that's been going on with the NFL since the season started. Certainly, you know, let's not even start getting back into, you know, the necessary, the rewrite stuff and all that, but from the standpoint of the commissioner and what they're trying to do now with their policies now that they're trying to implement now, your thoughts on, you know, the NFL is, you know, have they been going in the right direction with this, or is this something that's been long, you know, long overdue?
Well, here's the thing. The NFL kind of has that iconic area in our society these days. You know, they're that $9 million industry. Well, guess what? That means that for all the eyeballs that they get on TV screens and in fantasy leagues, you know, they kind of have a new position maybe that maybe they weren't expecting to have. And the whole rewrite thing, you know, with that video coming out, it's kind of forced them into a position. And I wrote about this at the end of August, had a story that actually came out just before they announced their new changes and new slate of punishments. And the people I talked to in the domestic violence industry, they said, you know, hey, everyone's looking to the NFL. So, you know, maybe they weren't exactly expecting to be in this position, but they are there now. And, you know, they're having to, you know, that's why they're working on trying to come up with some new guidelines. They didn't, you know, they were dealing with football, you know, breast cancer awareness, which they're doing this month, which, you know, they help get a lot of attention for that disease. Well, guess what? Now suddenly this has kind of been thrust on them. And, you know, October is also domestic violence awareness month. So, you know, the Titans actually are trying to help bring some attention to that on Sunday with their game against the Jaguars. You know, when you have that much money and you're taking that much space in the consciousness of society, guess what? Whether you want it or not, you've got to deal with it. And that seems to be where the league has found themselves at this point. And, you know, trust me, we're all watching to see what steps they take next, you know, because, you know, these guys get this much money, this much salary, this much of people's, you know, entertainment dollars. People want to see them handle things in a different fashion. And they're working, you know, they're kind of on the clock to make sure that they can, you know, get up to speed and handle it correctly.
Teresa, in your opinion, you think that, and this is something that everybody's been asking about Roger Goodell, you think that he deserves to stay in his position where he's at, or maybe the NFL maybe needs some more direction at some point in time?
Well, I just saw that a poll says that people think that Roger Goodell should keep his job, and you know, hey, he's working for the owners, so as long as they're happy with him, he's not going anywhere. So, you know, we'll see how much pressure, if that maybe changes. But, you know, he's got the clock working in his favor right now. You know, as long as they come out with this plan, this, you know, group that they're looking at and coming out with some suggestions around the Super Bowl time, you know, it looks like, you know, he's probably going to end up being just fine at this point.
Well, I kind of have my opinion about him because I'm come from the old school. I've been through a little bit of Roselle and then Tagliabue, so I really enjoyed those guys when they were commissioners, and certainly in my playing time. So I'm not gonna pass judgment on him just yet. I still feel that he hasn't handled everything the way that he should, and I think that maybe somewhere along the line here in the next couple of years, the NFL may need to rethink about the commissioner. So that's just my opinion. All right. I'm not going to tell you to put on your dancing shoes on that one, Teresa. I'll leave it alone. But anyway, you know what? I greatly appreciate you coming on and talking with me about the Titans. We will definitely do this again soon. And, certainly if you ever, want to, give me a buzz and get my opinion on something, I'll be more than happy to chat with you about. All right, Teresa.
That sounds great, Gerald. And I've got your number in my phone. And, yeah, give me a call. Be happy to talk with you anytime.
Lady, you have a very blessed day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Teresa. All right, folks. Again, that was Teresa Walker from the Associated Press there in Nashville talking about the Titans. A little bit of a little commissioner stuff I had to throw in there to see what – I just want to see what the pulse is like maybe in some of the other media outlets and stuff, because up there, in the NFL offices and all that, and certainly with the other team owners and all that, that's their boy. You know, Commissioner Goodell, that's their boy. He's proven to them over and over that you know, he's there to be there for them, and he's going to do things innovative. I still feel that the Shield itself, the NFL, it's not much you need to do. You can just walk in anybody's office and slap that on the desk and say, hey, do you want to be involved? Yes or no? This is the number that we're asking, and it's almost a done deal. If you want to do it, we have an opening here. If you want this, this is what it's going to cost, and you can either do it with or not. Same with what happened with Bose. Right now is that whole big thing with Bose, the headphones, as you see the coaches and stuff on the sidelines, they're all of them now have to wear, you know, the big Bose emblem on the headphones and all that. Well, they said to the players, who the players, because of this generation, the Beats headphones, of course, that's their generation. These are the things that the players use. They were saying, you know, hey, players can't use those now. They can't be seen up until 90 minutes after a game. So even when the interview process is going on in the game and or before the game, when guys are out there warming up and all, you will not see a guy if he has a Bose headphone on. And you know, in the beginning of the game when they would show guys warming up and out there doing, if they're wearing the Beats headphones, they will not show them on the camera. Isn't that something? That is just how the power of the Shield and how they can control it or dictate to other entities who are not really supporting the NFL. That's how they handle them. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit, and then we're going to go with Joe Smith, who's also here in Chattanooga, talking about YCAP program and the USA Boxing and how they are getting some exciting things happening here in Chattanooga. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back here, folks, and get ourselves kind of recalibrated to do some little boxing around there. Right back.
Now, more of the Gerald Riggs Show on TalkZone.com with your host, Gerald Riggs.
All righty, folks, we're back here, TalkZone Radio, TalkZoneRadio.com. I am Gerald Riggs. The GeraldRiggsNetwork.com is where you can find information on me, and you can tweet me at GeraldRiggsNet. Certainly enjoyed the conversation with Teresa Walker. It's always great to be able to hear. And you know what? Back in the day when I started radio, it's like we used to always call him, a sports babe. And that was actually a sports babe at one time who did radio. And, it was interesting. I thought she was a little outlandish, but, if you can do it and you can sell it, then of course, then it works. And it makes sense. Then, hey, you have a following, and she did. Sports Babe had a following there, back there. I don't know, it was the early '90s or something like that. I think it was in the early '90s or somewhere around there. And the Fabulous Sports Babe. And it's always great to hear women who can speak on sports and talk about it in a manner in which it all makes sense. Because we, you know, again, from the old school, and how it was. And I remember the day when. Back when they were back in the early '80s, how all these things were coming about with the women reporters in the locker room and how those things have changed so much now. And now you look at on the TV, and I think that there's every sports show that's out there or something that's on the TV from a national standpoint or a viewership, whatever, there are women. In on the sports desk, in the conversations, conducting the questions and all that. It's come a long, long way from that to where we as players at one point in time were like, you know, men, you know, hey, she can't come in here in the locker room. You know, we're getting dressed, we're showering, we're doing all these other things. We don't want all that sort of, no, because we know it's going to start. You know, there are going to be some issues and all that. And at one point in time, it just seemed like that was the furthest thing away from the media they didn't want to start. That was a firestorm, so to speak. And nobody wanted to get involved with that aspect of it. But boy, you talk about the ones who've come along, the Leslie Visser. You certainly look at Jane Kennedy. You look at Robin Roberts. There have been a lot of women who have pioneered the way to make this now. It's almost as if, you know, some of the guys are, you know what? You don't stand a chance. If you go in here for an interview and you got the woman coming in, and it's not because of a sexist issue or not, they have just moved to be able to say that, hey, the women can do the job just as good and they come in and they can ask just as good of questions. I think earlier on it wasn't that way because everybody would look at it. It's like, what do you know? You know, and that's just the way that it was. I'm not trying to be, you know, hard about it. Guys would just look at it like, how can you ask me that question? You never out there, you never suited up, you never put on my pads or my helmet or my cleats or any of my uniform. And how can you tell me or explain to me, in any kind of way, and help me, answer the question that you've asked? And at the same time, the question that you ask, how do I, you know, not look at it and say, really? You know, guys, you should look at it that way. Like, really? Well, you know, okay, you know, somebody please can, you know, give her, you know, sports etiquette or something. But those times have changed. And certainly the women are in the locker room now more than ever. They're on the field. They're in the meeting rooms. They're in all these things now to be able to, communicate all the information that goes back and forth on the, in the sports, baseball, basketball, football. I don't know much about, you know, soccer or anything like that, but, I'm sure they are out there with that. But anyway, it's always great to be able to sit and have that conversation. You know, my wife has kind of turned into a little bit of a sports person now, and it was always girly girl. I mean, like, my wife is kind of like, you know, she wouldn't play sports, baseball or anything unless they had heels on the shoes. Okay. If they had to be cleats with heels. So it'd have been, you know, the little five studs underneath the bunny forefoot, and that heel would have to be that last cleat. But she, you know, but now she gets right in there. She can talk about the games and stuff. She can, you know, she loves it. She gets in there and gets involved with it. And that's always great. When your spouse can share that, that kind of excitement and that fun with you, that's a fun time. That's when you know that, hey, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. I tell you what, we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and do, get Joe Smith on the phone, and we're going to talk about YCAP and certainly what he does here with the, Olympic boxing program that they're getting ready to get started here in Chattanooga. Great news, right here and things that are going on. So let's do that real quick, and then we'll come right back with Joe Smith.
Let's go back under the helmet for more of the Gerald Riggs Show. Here's Gerald Riggs.
All righty, folks. Appreciate you coming on back and joining me for this last segment of the Gerald Riggs Show, Underneath the Helmet. And you listen to us on Talks on Radio, talksonradio.com. GeraldRiggsNetwork.com also is where you can go and check on my page. And then at the same time, you can click right on for the show. And they'll bring you in live if you're listening from 12 to 1. Otherwise, you can go and listen to the show archived. And right now, we're going to go live with a good friend of mine, a dear man that is the salt of the earth and certainly an angel sent to a lot of young men out there who are not only just aspiring to do better, but just to make their way in life. We bring on the phone here Joe Smith, who is he's the man behind YCAP here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Joe, are you there?
I'm here, Gerald. How are you doing this afternoon, Big Daddy?
I am doing just great. He always refers to me as Big Daddy. Sometimes I had to make sure I looked down, make sure I could see my feet still.
That's not true.
But no, I try to stay in shape. I might have to get out there to your gym maybe and maybe go a couple of rounds with the bag, nobody else.
That bag don't hit back. That's good.
That's what I need. I don't want it to hit back. Joe, a lot of exciting things going on here in Chattanooga, certainly with YCAP, and you've been, you started this program up back in, in the 90s?
1998, Gerald, we started, YCAP. YCAP, of course, stands for YMCA Community Action Program.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with at-risk young people, so kids that have been referred by the juvenile justice system or maybe by a principal, a young person who's just beginning to act out and get in trouble. And what our program is designed to do is to intervene on those behaviors early before these young people escalate and we're reading about them shooting each other in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty condensed version of who we are and what we do. But we started back in 1998, and then fast forward now to 2014, we We serve kids in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in Cleveland, Tennessee, and in Dayton, Tennessee, all under the umbrella of the Chattanooga Metropolitan YMCA.
That, and that's great, too. I mean, like, when you think about how many kids that you've gone, have gone through your program and seen what, you know, what they've either gone on to have families or gotten into business or whatever, you know, it makes it all worthwhile. And I myself have worked with counseling at one point in time. So I know what kind of job that you have ahead of you. And it's God's work, believe me, because there's a lot of tough situations out there with some of these kids. How many kids have you think you've probably gone through this program so far?
Well, Jerry, you know, somebody asked me that the other day, and boy, that's a question I can't answer, but we serve about 170 kids a year. So you can kind of do the math there. There's been close to 2,500, 3,000 kids that over the years that have come through the program. Many, many of them have done well and gone on to be productive, contributing members of society. And then some of them we didn't reach. We don't reach them every one, but we reach right smart of them.
Right. Right. And that's, you know, kind of how it goes with that. You know, you try to do as much as you can, but you know that there are going to be those that, that sometimes just don't want to hear and don't want to listen, do the right thing. Some exciting things going on with you now. Now, Joe, you've been involved with Olympic boxing, USA boxing. You've been involved with, pretty much all facets of it, and certainly right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Chattanooga has decided to kind of get behind you and maybe build some of those things or build on the boxing again and try to make this another little sports hub as far as the boxing is concerned.
Well, we added amateur boxing to our menu of services at YCAP in 2002. And our idea was to utilize the sport to teach kids lessons about discipline, hard work, respect, those kinds of things, like all sports teach. And so we added boxing, and over the years that program has grown. We've had some success with kids that have gone on and competed well nationally and a few of them internationally. And then I was honored in 2008 to be the team manager for the United States Olympic team. And then in 2011, I worked with the women's Olympic team, and USA Boxing reached out to me a few weeks ago and asked us to stage the men's Olympic qualifying process. So yes, we've got 250 of America's best amateur boxers, 10 different weight classes. Are going to be coming to Chattanooga, Tennessee for a week-long tournament, November the 29th through December the 5th at the Chattanooga Convention Center. And the winners that come out of this event in those 10 weight classes become our USA national team that'll be vying for a spot in the Olympic Games.
Wow, that is something else. And you said 250?
There'll be 250 athletes that will comprise 10 different weight classes, and so this will be the most elite amateur boxers in the USA. And so it will be great boxing. Gerald, it's really, if you're an amateur boxing fan, you'll understand, but if you're not, you may not. But other than the Olympic Games, this is the very marquee event for USA Boxing because these guys are trying to make USA national team. So that's how big this event is. There'll be a lot of visitors here, people from all over the country that'll be coming to our town. So when that happens, then you have hotel rooms sold, you have restaurants that are being eaten in, and people are exposed to our great city. And so it's a home run for everybody. And then the proceeds that are generated from this great event will go right back into our local YCAP program. So it's a home run for everybody.
Well, it sounds like a win-win to me, Joe. And it's are there going to be people maybe from the Olympic Committee that's going to be here also?
Oh, yeah. All those folks will be here. And actually, they're the ones that actually stage the event. Our role is to be the host. So they do the administration of the event itself, because once that national team is picked, and that team belongs to the USOC, United States Olympic Committee. So it becomes their property, if you will. So all those guys will be here, be a lot of former USA boxing greats that will be here for at least one or two days, or maybe the whole week. Evander Holyfield will be in town. Oscar De La Hoya will be here. Andre Durrell will be here. All former USA amateur boxers that are now kind of icons in the sport professionally. So all those guys will be here. And so it's just going to be great for this city and great for our program as well.
Well, it's certainly going to bring a lot of visibility during that time for the boxing here in Chattanooga. And now moving forward now is just to have this this tournament here. What are the plans, I guess, after the tournament? Are they going to continue to, or are you going to continue to maybe bring other events that are going to be maybe helping kids to kind of, you know, those who aspire to be boxing, get into the boxing a little bit more? Or is it, you know, after this is over with, then everybody kind of goes back their way and it's, you know, kind of wait till the Olympics get here?
Well, Gerald, you know, but once this, the winners that come out of here, once again, they become the USA national team. So those, there'll be 10 of those, one per weight class.
Right.
Those 10 athletes will go to Colorado Springs, and they'll be living there from now until the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. That is the Olympic Training Center. And during that time, for the next year and a half, well, they'll be traveling all over the world, participating in Olympic qualifying events and dual meets against other countries from all over the world. As far as here locally goes, we never know who walks in our doors that's going to make a great boxer. I understand that we're not in the boxing business.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the business of impacting lives that we just utilize boxing to be a piece of. So,
right.
We're going to continue to do what we do through the YMCA and YCAP and changing these kids' lives and loving on these families that are hurting. And boxing is just one of the many ways we use to do that. And we use football. We use basketball. We use counseling. We've got a wood shop. We've got a community garden where we grow vegetables. I can just go on and on of the different things we use, because everybody comes in that building is not going to be a boxer. They can do other things. So we're going to utilize every single tool that we can try to make a difference in people's lives.
And folks, believe me, if you see what they have there, the program and what they do and how it's run, get a chance to talk to some of the young men, which I have, and see that some of them, who were at one point in time were for the most part didn't have hope, but certainly YCAP and Joe Smith and Andy Smith have given them that, just that hope. And when they have hope, then they know that there's this possibility of them changing. Joe, I greatly appreciate you coming on with me. We wish you continued success. I will be out there watching, and certainly when all those guys come into town and all the other, I'll try to mix in and maybe look like I'm an athlete or something. But I look forward to having a lot of fun with you down the road.
Gerald, it's my honor to be with you, and it's about time to get you back over, as you've done many times, and share with our kids, and they always enjoy when you come over. So I'm going to be hitting you up before long, buddy.
You know I'll be there. All right.
God bless. Have a
God
great
bless
day.
You too, Joe. All right, folks, that was Joe Smith at the YCAP program right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is in association with the YMCA. But again, they're targeting basically young men. And it's pretty much young men. I don't think that there's been very many women come through that program that he has, that he houses the kids. But certainly with the boxing aspect of it, there are some young women that have come along who they work with from the boxing standpoint. And he took, I believe, a couple of years ago, a young lady to Colorado Springs who came out of the Chattanooga area who was a pretty doggone good boxer. I don't know what happened to her. I meant to ask him about that, but it slipped my mind. Helping at-risk kids get off the street. Boxing has some lessons there that a lot of them probably could use to turn their lives around, just as football does. I can't speak for baseball sometimes and basketball, and you know, because they're entirely different games in the sense that, you know, it's that one-on-one almost sometimes. You know, even though baseball, yeah, you know, you got nine players out there, but it's you versus the pitcher. You can hit or you can't. Okay, basketball, it's either you know, you're shooting the ball, you can shoot, or you can defend, or you can do things kind of as a team or whatever. But football and boxing maybe are two of the games that really, to me, just cross the lines of how much it really takes for you to either come over, overcome adversities, overcome situations that may have been dire at one point in time, to be on top or to be the best or to help others out. Because in football, 11 men at one point in time, you've got to have it together in order to be successful out there. Not one can go out there and just say, well, I'm just going to do it by myself. It doesn't happen. Baseball, like I say, you can go out there and you can be a Reggie Jackson, you can be a Frank Thomas, you can be a Babe Ruth, you can be a lot of these guys, or even as a pitcher or whatnot. It's you one-on-one versus that person with the ball or something. But boxing, that's another one. It's you mano a mano, man on man. And it's either you go out and you hit or you get hit, but at the same time, it teaches you the discipline. It teaches you what you need to do to train yourself, your mind, your body, your spirit, to go out there to be the best that you can be at any given time. I'm sure there are a lot of lessons. I'm not going to say that, you know, just because of I don't play those sports or have never really played them in a professional sense. I know that baseball, I tried when I was a young kid, couldn't stand it. Struck out probably, my first time at bat, I hit a straightaway home run. I think I was probably in the sixth grade, hit a straight center field home run. And then I probably proceeded to strike out about 40 times straight after that. Soccer, you know, they put me in a goalie. I got scored on 3 or 4 times in one match. I was like, you know what? Forget about this. Here, take the cleats, the shin guards, all that. Basketball. Now, I was a very good basketball player. Loved it. Just wasn't going to be 6'6", you know, or LeBron size or anything like that. Could go out there and play with the best of them. Just didn't have the height. But football was my game. And God put me in football for a reason. And that's another one. As I write my book and get to that point, you'll see some pretty revealing things. I'm going to be pretty transparent about some things that happened in my life that I lived long before that. Folks, we're done for today, and we're going to be back again next Wednesday at 12 o'clock. So join up, tell a friend, go out there and let them know that the Gerald Riggs Show is on TalkZoneRadio.com. And again, you can go to tweet me at GeraldRiggsNet. And we can kind of, you know, have a little spirited conversation or whatnot. All right. I'd like to thank Joe Smith for coming on with me. Also, along with Teresa Walker from the Associated Press in Nashville. We will see you guys back here next week on the Gerald Riggs Show Underneath the Helmet. Until then, take care. God bless you. I'll talk to you soon.